Blog Talk Radio.
Lock and load.
Nobody knew who the hell he was.
Or have lived in a Muslim-majority country. I know because I am one of them.
How's that hokey-teeny stuff working out for you?
He's now our president. He's our president.
If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth.
Taking back America, one listener at a time. This is the Bella D'Angelo Show.
Well, hello. welcome from the love of crude oil that is. We have got an amazing show tonight. We're trying something out, and we're going to leave it to our listeners and the feedback that we get, because we've got Rick Trader on tonight with the Conservative Commando radio show. And Joe, we're going to play a couple of interviews, and we're going to go back and forth and talk about them. And just quickly, why don't you set up the audience the two interviews that we're playing, Catherine and Paul. Give a brief overview real quick, Joe.
Sure. Rick Trader is going to interview Catherine Engelbrecht, and Paul Brown's coming on also to speak to us. Catherine was a everyday housewife and mom, and she got involved in politics in 2008 after the Obama election because she wanted to make a difference. And she's the founder of True the Vote, and she basically started that organization to stop Acorn and all the voter fraud. She's an amazing patriot activist. Well, what she got for her trouble, no good deed goes unpunished, was continual IRS harassment and audit after audit, the entire alphabet soup coming to her door, FBI, CIA, you name it. So
hey,
she's recently...
Brief, I said, Joe. Don't read the manifesto. Just give a highlight so they know we're listening to now. Paul Brown, we're going to listen to that interview and just an overview of what we're going to hear real quick.
Sure. Yeah, Paul Brown, he's a U.S. congressman. He's running for Senate in Georgia. He's going to come on after her and talk about government overreach.
Excellent.
Is that brief enough?
We've been having some really great shows. I mean, some amazing guests. You know, if you didn't get to catch Tuesday night, although we got winded, but Neil Monroe, who's a White House correspondent, he came on. The hardest part, Joe, to listening to that whole segment was, and this is what I was talking about, is so many company guys out here, and then I got to talk about my day in the oil field because I had way too much fun today. I had entirely way too much fun. I'm sitting on location right now, George Patton Jr.'s rig, sitting in my truck with a running, because what I was talking to you early, it's still cold here. I say this all the time. Minnesota sucks, but North Dakota blows. I mean, and we're not getting a reprieve from the weapons of mass destruction, which is what, of course, John Kerry talks about, this climate change, whatever. But when listening to Neil Monroe that night, the hardest part was, and we go back to this all the time, I mean, you sit there and you wonder why the big media heads aren't really being hard-hitting and direct. Well, I mean, yeah, I know Murdoch runs Fox. It's just that you sit and you listen to him as he's talking about how arrogant and smug and removed and distracted and, self-important they are. And I'm sitting there just listening to them going, I know, but you're part of the problem. So that was the hard part of listening to that.
Neil is an old school reporter, but, his outlook is a little different than the rest of them. He asks the tough questions, but he may not get the answers from this administration. They're very
well, and that was the point that I made. I mean, that's what I said that night. I mean, I'm not expecting
mm-hmm.
any answers. It's just, it was one of those nights where I learned something new. I learned something, I was just honored that a White House correspondent would come on the show. And then sounds like when we hit syndication, which we're just 3 weeks away, once we hit syndication, that he might call in every once in a while just to touch base, which you know, the show is really coming together, and as we meet on Saturdays on our conference call and line up the show, I just can't wait. As I say all the time, I'll be the ones asking the tough questions. I'll be the ones pushing Rush and Hannity around and saying, okay, boys, if you're not going to ask all these things, I sure as hell will, because if you know me, or you should know me by now, listening, I'm just a little bit relentless. And let me start out how my morning started. So I went to the first rig this morning, and, you know, first of all, I got to say, my business is really growing up, and the reason I wasn't on air last night was, you know, I'm not going to go into it, but as a business owner, you have to make tough changes, and one of the great things is that my cleaning business, Isabel's Oilfield Services, has really grown up, Joe. I mean, I have crews now. We have brand-new vans. They have uniforms. They've been screened heavily. They're coming from outside of the area up here, so they're coming in doing 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. I've got housing. So this morning I get to pull up on location and see them all, and I go into the rig, and I look at the company man, and I just start laughing, and I said, did you listen to the show yet? And he said, yep. And I said, uh-huh. And he goes, well, I've been meaning to, because you've asked me so many times. And I said, you know that I'm not going to stop. And he goes, but the internet really sucks up here. And I said, right. And he goes, here you can, I said, trust me, I wasn't going to ask for permission to your station. I was just going to take it over. So I go to, and if you guys, right now it's through the website, but in 3 weeks we will be on AM 1090 KTGO here in Tioga. So I go and I put the website, Bella D'Angelo, BellaDangelo.com, into the web browser, and it instantly goes to the website. I instantly click on my name, and it pulls up Oxymoron President's Day, which I looked at the company man, and I said, Oxymoron could apply in this situation as well. I'll just leave it at that. And then I clicked play, and it played right away. And I looked at him and said, you didn't want me to tackle you. I said, that's all this is about. And I said, I was going to get to that next step. And he looked at me, and he goes, you have nothing to do, have you? And I said, I have plenty to do, because now I'm a sales girl. I'm not managing these toilet scrubbers. And I said, so now, even if you wanted me to leave, you may not get rid of me. I'm here for good. So bring a lunch. But the thing is, Joe, I got another company man listening to the show. I accomplished my job.
Nice. Changing the world one person at a time through the Danta, the D'Angelo show.
So I get a phone call, and it's George Patton Jr., and he wants to know if I'm on my way to his rig. And I said, yes. And he said, well, how soon can you get here? He said, we're going up on the floor, and I want you to see something. Bring your hard hat and your glasses. And I said, check, I'm on my way. So, but let me just say that if you've been listening for a while, you know there's, you know, George Patton Jr., this is where home basically is, home base. And so when I got here, he's got a brand new trailer. And anybody that works out here in the field knows George is very particular that I take my field hose off right in the entrance. Do not continue on. And so I don't drag the mud and dirt and water in. Well, he's got a brand new trailer. By the time I got to the rig, I was so excited to get up to the rig floor because I love it up there. Anyways, I run in and I have to, I had to pee so bad. And it's so cold. I didn't want to stop at a pumping deck this morning. Okay, guys? Sorry, just wasn't up for it. But I go barreling into his shack, into the brand new trailer, and then all of a sudden when I come out, all I hear is, Red, what did you do? And that's when I realized what I did. I kind of dragged mud and water all the way through his trailer onto his new carpet, his kitchen, his office. So I come right around the corner and I grabbed that mop. And he's looking at me and goes, what did you do? And I said, nothing a certain cleaning lady couldn't fix. You got one to call. I said, what did you do? Did you give birth to a water buffalo or something? I said, your toilet's plugged too. He goes, I said, something that you had to have done. And he goes, it was working just fine before you got here. Because everything was just fine before you got here. What have you done? And he starts shaking his head. He's like, why me, Lord? Poor, poor me. I said, poor, poor you. I said, well, I said, I'll clean it up. And he goes, what are you going to clean up the dirt with? And I said, oh, Reagan, Windex. And he goes, that's all you've ever cleaned anything with is Windex. And I said, well, I didn't see a reason to go above and beyond Windex. I was just going to do what?
She believes in it. You're a believer. You got a Windex sponsor now? Is there a Windex sponsor I don't know about? Gonna slide that in there? All right, go ahead.
I need a Windex sponsor because that's been my signature cleaning product. That's a little spritzing and a little giggling, and we got the job done. So I'm wiping the dirt and the water on the carpet, and then I looked at him and I said, you know what? I said, why don't you plunge the toilet, and I got to go set up my office. I said, I got a lot of work to do, and I'd appreciate if I could get to it right away. He said, Red, there's your office. He said, I made you a little spot. You got your little desk here and your chair. He said, out of sight, out of mind. Perfect. I said, excellent. So I ran over, and I got on the computer, and that's when I did a few things. And then when he came in, and he sat down, and I said, the reason that I have been so beside myself, and so this is, if anybody really knew my personality and who I am, you know, I told George this. I said, let me give you this example. I said, this is how driven and motivated, and this is how important it is for me to sell and to accomplish something. So, Joe, my last job back in, and this is, I'm going to get to where this is going, because for the last over 2 years, I've been a manager of people. You can either be a manager or you can't. You can either be a salesperson or you can't. You can either be a comedian or you can't. I mean, you have to know your limitations. So my last job in Minneapolis before coming out here to the oil field, I worked for them for 10 years. And it was selling temporary staffing. A lot of you people that know me know the story, and you know where I came from. But here's the difference about tonight talking about it. When I started, the first 2 days that I worked, I was in training those 2 days. And the trainer could barely deal with me because I can't sit still. I have a lot of energy. And I didn't want to sit there and be talked at. Nothing puts me asleep faster than trying to talk at me. So I get out of training. And my first office day, which is also sales day for me because I don't like office days. Anyways, I walk in, and all the other sales guys are sitting around with their feet up, and, you know, they're talking about their weekend and partying and the golf and all this and yada, yada, and all these stories. And they're just, you know, they have no enthusiasm whatsoever, and they're just wasting time. I spent 5 minutes watching that. I walked into my boss's office. And I looked at him and I said, you know what? I'm headed to the office up north. And as he tried to open his mouth, I said, nope, I will sell something today. I left and I went up to the northern office because there were no other salespeople up there. And you know what I did in the first year that I sold for them? I buried every sales rep around me, literally buried them. And as I buried them, I took their territory. And as I took their territory, I continued taking territory till I had the whole Minneapolis territory. There wasn't anybody that could keep up with me, and I sold things. I got into places where they looked at me and they said, how did you do that? I said, I picked up the phone. I mean, people either work or they don't. You either are in the 10% or you're not. And I just, you know, I have very little tolerance. I have no tolerance for slackers and for people that don't work and exceed. And so what I was saying to him was, I said, the toughest thing I've ever done is what I have done out here in this oil field, which was running this cleaning business. I had no idea what I was getting into. I had not a clue. All I knew was that I was honored to have this opportunity to have these company men teach me and help build my business. I mean, I've never had anybody really do something for me, let alone help me build something that I always wanted a business. I just didn't know what I was getting into by trying to manage people. So that is not something that I do well with at all, because I don't want any whining, complaining, bitching, screaming, dog dying, cat planes, butterfly, anything. I just want you to go get the job done. I don't want to hear about it. And take it to the complaint department. Oh, that's right. I don't have a complaint department, so then you better take it somewhere else. But anyway, all of that has been handed over to a gentleman that is very well known out here to company men out at the rigs. He's running the clean business. And I can finally be me. Be me. Be sales girl. And family.
I thought I was getting fired there. You were building up a big
girl.
Speech. I was like, wow.
What's that?
I thought you were building up to fire me off after all that. I was like, okay, whew, all right, good. Yeah.
No.
I'm glad to have the ending.
Here comes George now. Hang on 1 second. I'm going to have to roll down the window. Well, hello, George. I'm on my radio show.
Already?
Already. I started earlier, so I go to bed earlier. Because remember, you gave me that curfew the other night? Yep. I know you have to do things.
No. American people want to drive Texas kids, nice cars, keep their house. They must play the four
pieces. See ya. And by the way, I cleaned your kitchen. When I was talking to you earlier and I was telling you I was making tuna fish salad, the rig phone kept ringing. George went up on from the rig floor and the rig phone kept ringing and ringing and ringing, and then it would hang up and then start ringing and ringing and ringing and then hang up. And I was looking at it and I thought, do I pick it up or not? I thought about it like a couple times and finally thought, oh, George calling. I wonder what he needs. So I picked up. I said, hello. He said, about time your daggum lazy-ass fingers picked up that phone. And I said, what do you want? And he goes, please, please, please clean the kitchen tonight when you're done because I'm going to be tired. And I said, are you kidding me? And he goes, no, I'm not kidding you. You'll clean the kitchen, please, after you blow up my microwave and salad and on and on. I said, I got it. So anyways, that was. But you know, this kitchen's clean. So anyway, so as he's sitting there, you know, he's asked, and then we get talking about some of the other things, you know, my personal life and things like that. And I just looked at him, and I said, you know what? I have so many things going on right now. I need a boyfriend about as bad as I need an oil rig. Because you know the problem, Joe, once you get a drilling rig, once you got one, they're hard to get rid of, and they're hard to hide. Same as a bank.
That's a North Dakota skyscraper, isn't it? Very hard to hide.
Yes.
Is that what they, right?
Yeah. So then,
I've seen them online.
Yeah, I mean, they're beautiful. They're absolutely, uh-oh, wait a minute. I didn't do that. I didn't do that. Sorry, there was a dish rig and a fork left by his computer. I guess I forgot a couple things to put it in the kitchen. But anyways, so as I was talking to him about everything that was going on, and Joe, you were so sweet last night because by the time I got in last night, I just had one of those days that I will not repeat, and I'm not going backwards. And everybody that knows me out here knows that my radio show was really built on talking about the insanity and the craziness that I was putting up with these people that were trying to work for me. And God bless you, company men. I want to thank you, all of you, who have listened to me, who have not let me down, who have been there for me, who have, you know, been there to support me as I've gone through this insane, Joe, the stories I could tell you, they are endless, and you can't make this stuff up. You can't. And what I told you yesterday, I mean, it's, can you believe someone's on track to make $80,000 and did what they did? But anyways, I'm not going to give it airplay, just like you don't give other ridiculous situations any notoriety, because really the notoriety needs to be given to those that are working hard. Those of us out here that are working hard, working out in the cold, that are doing the things that we're doing so that the rest of the country can enjoy the things that they enjoy. And I just, you know, I honor and love these guys, and that's why the other mission of this show is to be the positive outlet and the positive voice of media for media for the oil workers, because we get none of it. But, it, I mean, can you imagine? This is our lives and our careers and our livelihood, and we get no, if anything, we are completely attacked on a day-to-day basis. But anyways, I love it out here, and you can't get me to get away from here, because you just don't have, I mean, you have so much fun out here. So that's why I tell you all the time you should come out. And you said maybe June or July, and that might be when we have a temperature above zero. Maybe. I'm just saying.
I'll be out in mid-June. Keep a light on for me. What's the temperature in mid-June up there?
It can be in the 70s and 80s and even 90s. But so before
I'll be there. I'm going to take that $80,000 year cleaning job.
There you go. Well, so before I left today, before I left today, George's Shack, I was talking about how grateful I am for this person that's managing the cleaning business and brought these people in, and what a great job they were doing. And George said he might offend somebody around the corner, and I said I don't give a rat monkey anything about offending anybody. And so I came around the corner and I looked at them, to these two workers that were in there, and I said, here, I have a radio show. I said, there's an obvious reason why I have these jaws of life that can just ratchet away. And that's when George said, yeah, how can you avoid those gums that won't stop flapping in here? And the guy said, well, you know, practice makes perfect. And I said, guys, you just got to tune in. And then I turned around because George said, hey, you guys. And I looked at George and I said, do not ask if they are single. Do not. And George said, no, I don't have time. So then George said, no, I was going to ask them if they were going to go into town and get a few things. And I said, oh, excellent. I said, and guys, while you go in, get me a six-pack of Diet Coke bottle and some tuna fish in olive oil, because the tuna fish and water that George has sucks. And I want it in olive oil because I make the best tuna fish salad in the world. Then I looked at them all and I said, gentlemen, I've got to go. I said, George, I'll be back for dinner. What's for dinner? And he said, no, don't come back. No, but as you can see, it's hard to keep me away. And that's what I explained when I went to the next company man, when I explained to him that I will be out. And basically it's going to be pretty unstoppable for me to get out to these guys unless they figure out how to install a security system or block the gate, but I am full-time sales girl, full-time radio girl, because we got a lot to do, Joe, and I am so excited for this syndication. I can't wait. I mean, 1090 blasting this whole oil field, and I already have a bunch of advertisers. The thing is, I even now have a female sales girl to sell advertising for the radio show as well.
Sweet. Wow, that's amazing. What I would do to keep you away from there, back in North Carolina, what we do is we wait in dark, and we'll take a flashlight and a paper bag and cut little eye holes in the paper bag and just set the flashlight inside and set it in the bushes. So when you walk up, it looks like two eyes glowing and looking at you in the bushes. That always works. But recommend you try it sometime. That's amazing.
Well, you have to come up with something a little bit more intimidating than that, because a company man doesn't even intimidate me. So flashlight and all that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you're going to be a little bit tougher and more creative, because these guys have come up with a lot of things, and so far nothing has deterred me or kept me off location. But hey, before I go into some more yammering, 760-259-2312 is the call-in number. And, Joe, you're not going to believe this one, but I have to actually call Rick Trader really quick here.
I'll believe anything.
I have
anything.
To actually call.
Okay. Give him a jingle. I think he might have fallen asleep.
I had to call him to make sure he didn't fall asleep, and I'm going to kill him if he did fall asleep. Oh,
that
I do.
Possibility.
I know.
Tell him this is wake-up call, the front desk calling him for his wake-up. Ask him if he'll be staying over the next another day.
While I'm calling, do you want to ask me a question from no service on my other phone?
I do. Yep. We have three questions, actually. And the first one is, Cassie wants to know, who are your top three political heroes of all time?
Top three political heroes of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Let me do one thing. Since my other phone is on no service right now, and I'm trying to figure out how to call into Rick Trader real quick. Give me a lighter one since I'm more than multitasking right now.
Okie doke. Let's scroll down to something else. No worries, no worries. What country would you live in? What would be your first choice if you didn't live in the United States of America? Where would you be? Anywhere in the world. And why?
Iceland.
Iceland. Okay. And why?
You know why?
Because it has ice? No,
huh?
I don't know why.
Iceland actually ran off their career criminal politicians. Oh, good. My phone's working now, and I'm calling Rick Trader to see if he's off. They ran their politicians out of office, and they were able to run the criminals out, and they started all over, which has created – hi, is Rick there? It's Bella with the Bella D'Angelo Show.
Can Rick come out and play?
I mean, really? I just can't wait for syndication because then there's other people that do this stuff. So, if you could see in my truck right now, two phones up to my head, my little iPad, calling an old man to see if he can manage to come on the show.
Can Ricky come out this evening?
259-2312. Yes.
Doing that Rick number
Sam.
On there.
Right. No, that's a call-in number.
Jeez. Oh, okay. I thought you were doing a number. I thought, wow. So Iceland, and because they ran off all their politicians, what did they do? Play the flute, walk through the town, and they just followed them?
They had an uprising, and they had enough, and they wanted to take their country back and their economy, and so they went after them, and they ran them out. And I've said all along, I mean, that's what we need to do here. And the question that I get asked by a lot of company men is posing that question, and, you know, you asked me the other night what were some of the things that I would – three things that I would change – in this country, and the one thing that has to be stopped is we can't have, there has to be term limits, and we have to have a way where we can fire and get someone out of office when they are running lawless. You know, that as I was talking to you too, and you were talking about some of the other things that I said, that the other point of this show is I don't want conspiracy theorists. I don't want conspiracy theorists, and if people are coming forward with statements and, saying the IRS has, I'll give this example because you and I were talking about the IRS having guns. And I said to you, well, where's your source? And then I said, the next piece is, even if they have the guns, okay, our country is more armed than it's ever. I mean, that's what this administration did was they increased our arms. We've been buying at a
record
unbelievable rate. And, we're more armed and more aware. And this is why I keep going back to, and that's why when I talked to the couple of company men today and I was telling them about this crazy belief that there's an actual date when the dollar is going to collapse and the economy and everything else. I mean, people have to look at how aware, and that's why when I watch Fox News and I see that every single day, now it's just hourly, of the madness and the insanity that this administration is, the lawlessness. And I say this all the time, Joe, and you know this, that every time they do that, there's a little bit of background noise on your phone, every time they do that, it infuriates one more person or 10 more people or 1,000 more people. I mean, I say let all of their crimes and all the insanity and all the madness, all the lawlessness every single minute, every single day, so that it does get the masses woken up. And I, speaking of woken up, Rick, did I wake you?
Yes, you did.
Good morning, sunshine.
See, can I tell you what old men do at the end of the day?
Please, wait a minute.
After they eat their dinner, I'm just trying to help you here, young lady, because at some time in your life, you're going to deal with an old man. Well, what old men do at the end of the day, after they eat their dinner, they climb into the lazy boy chair. They put an afghan over themselves. They turn on the TV. Their little kitty cat crawls up into their lap, and both of them go to sleep.
That's so beautiful.
It's a beautiful thing. It
the
is
Hallmark
truly,
card is what that is.
It is truly a beautiful thing. And this is the Christ of glory you get to enjoy when you turn older than dirt.
Well, let me share something, because if I am subjected to an old man, I was talking about this at dinner.
Well, you should hope and pray that at some point in your life, young lady, you are subjected to an old man.
Too late for that. Have you already been there already, Bella?
I mean, really old man. You don't know the joys of life. You don't know the joys of life until you have reached older than dirt age, and you can enjoy your evenings. Yes.
I was at dinner last night with a couple of my really good friends from out here on George Penn Jr.'s rig, right? And I'm telling them because they want to know of the possible, the guys, you know, that have been hitting on me. And so I was saying, I said, you know what, if I ever have to be subjected to an old man, and my buddy Ears goes, he goes, hide the Cialis. And I said, hide it? I said, I'm going to do one better. I said, I'm going to replace the Cialis with birth control pills.
Where's the conversation going? Is they heading to duct tape and stripper poles? Is that where this conversation is going? If so, please give me warning. Because I need a little bit of warning to get excited, all right?
So then he said, look, because I was telling him, I said, you know, there's someone that's 30 years old that I've been talking to, and he goes, 30 years old? He goes, you wouldn't know how to handle a 30-year-old. And I said, what do you mean? Are you kidding me? I said, and he goes, you wouldn't keep up. And I said, wait a minute. I said, what age do you even think that I am?
Bella.
And then he's like, no, listen, where I'm going. So he goes, all us young in their 20s, they just want to get drunk and get laid. And I said, well, drunk is one thing. I said, I have no problem getting laid. And that's when he said, and then he burst and he got all red in the face. And then I said, you know, and then, of course, I can always drag along. Yes, Rick, the portable stripper pole, it's not been completely retired. It's just that I bring it on location
right.
Well,
now. You know, do you know the definition of a cougar?
Oh, God, not this again.
Well, and you promised me this radio show would be nothing like your past radio show. Even if you lose all your listeners. You know, you promised me all that this was going to be a serious political conversation type show. And,
no, I never said serious.
You promised me,
Bella.
No,
yeah,
you
I
promised
didn't say
me.
Serious. I never said serious.
But you did. You promised me.
Anybody who knows that the only way we're going to get this job done, Rick, is by bringing in
humor. I thought you asked me to do this because you wanted me to help clean up your act.
I don't need help. I've cleaned up my act plenty. Let's set up the first.
Is that Joe? Is that Joe?
Yes.
It's me, Rick.
Hello, Joe. How are you? Hello, Joe.
I'm
how
good.
Are you? All right.
Excellent. Thank you, sir.
So Bella, darling, what do you want to do here? I mean,
why don't you set up the first interview and we will play it and then
okay.
we will have some conversation afterwards. So let the audience know what they're about to experience.
All right. Well, you know, I am part of something called the Conservative Commandos radio show, and we do serious radio with serious interviews with serious important people on the Conservative Commandos radio show. And the other day, we had the opportunity to speak with Kathleen Engelbrecht. Now, Kathleen made news a few weeks ago. She's a small business owner from Texas. And prior to 2008, Catherine had a little involvement with political areas. And however, during the presidential campaign of 2008, her life changed. And she created a couple of nonprofit agencies, organizations, I should say. One of them is called Truth Vote. Another is called the King Street Patriots. And she was just a businesswoman, like many people out there. But all of a sudden, she started getting a rash of calls from organizations like the IRS, the EPA, and others. And they were doing thorough investigations on her. And so Kathleen Engelbrecht got a lot of news recently by appearing before congressional committees about the harassment from the IRS. And, well, anyway, we'll let the – that sets it up, so we'll let the interview speak for itself. So, Bella, why don't you start that interview?
You got it.
We are glad to welcome to our program, really for the first time, Catherine Engelbrecht. She is from Texas, small business owner there. And I'll just a little bit about her, because I think it helps to set the stage for what we're going to be talking about. In 2008, Catherine had little involvement in the political arena, but during the presidential campaign of 2008, she became motivated to step up and do what she could do to protect the American ideals of life and liberty and civic duty and private property and all of those things which we love. She then went on to become the founder of True the Vote Initiative, a citizen-led effort to restore honor and integrity to our electoral system. True the Vote educates voters, researches the veracity of voter registries, trains and mobilizes volunteers to work in polling places, and otherwise advocates for comprehensive election code reform legislation. Catherine, we are really glad, on behalf of Rick Crater and I, hosting the program today, for you to be with us on the Conservative Commander Radio Program.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Well, you know, we like to have folks on here who are experts in the area and or have really stood above the fray in exhibiting some real strong leadership, and you've done that. And I want to go right to that because, Catherine, you just some days ago, you testified before the Congressional House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform. And I know, having chaired many of those committees in the Pennsylvania House, that it's not an easy thing to find good folks to testify, and it's not an easy thing to come and sit there in front of the cameras and be grilled oftentimes by very calloused individuals on why you're there. But you were there, and you were there to present commentary on the proposed IRS regulations, and I want to talk with you about that because those regulations would have a dramatic impact on 501c4s and perhaps even right closer related down the road 501c3s. But from your perspective and the reason that took you there in short, what would these proposed IRS regulations require of 501c4s if, in fact, these regulations are allowed to become law?
Oh, my word. It is a multi-tentacled kind of a regulatory package that they're trying to push through, severely limiting the types of wording that you can use, the types of things that you can put on your website. And let me be more specific. You can't do voter registration in certain capacities. You can't do voter outreach in certain capacities. You can't engage candidates in certain capacities, and it's all designed ultimately to so severely limit C4s from doing the very things that a C4 by its classification in the nonprofit code can do. You know, a C4, all they really cannot do is they cannot endorse the candidate or give candidates money, but they can absolutely engage voters. They can absolutely participate and get out the vote drive. And all of that would be taken off the table if these regulations were to pass.
So clearly it's fairly significant. Now, I don't know if you testified on this part of it or not, but it is my understanding, after looking at the regulations, that if in fact they go through and they become law, that it would prohibit a 501c4, as you're talking about, from even linking or posting a candidate or an incumbent's name on their website or in their materials relative to a vote that they may have made 30 days before the primary, 60 days before the general election, effectively eliminating the ability to inform anybody on how an incumbent would be voting. Is that correct? That's, did you comment on that as well?
That is to the best of my understanding, and again, these are very, you know, the circular logic that is used in these, you know, you just wonder who writes regulations and what they're really written for beyond just general levels of confusion that no one can ever truly understand enough to try to adhere to. In any case, yes, there are all kinds of limitations that effectively stop a nonprofit's almost entire capacity to reach and inform and educate and engage voters in any way, shape, or form. And that's exactly what this administration is trying to do. You know, isn't it so ironic that they've moved from first targeting and then denying that they targeted, now to just openly regulating the C4s out of existence?
Absolutely. Now, Catherine, I want to go on, and I want that'll lead me into my next question here for you. You were there testifying, not an easy thing to do, but I'm very thankful to you, and I commend you for doing that. And I would suspect that if Representatives Jordan and Issa hadn't really pursued this, the committee wouldn't even be doing any of its official business for providing oversight in this important area. But when I read your testimony, you stated very clearly that you would not remain silent when such targeting, overt targeting by the IRS, was occurring. And I thank you for that. Now, my question to you, just for the sake of our folks who are listening, when was it when you first came to the realization that the IRS was not just doing routine auditing, but in fact was sent on a mission to target and harass? What was it that ultimately brought you to the point that they weren't there doing the normal thing that under law the IRS is supposed to do? Where did you see they had crossed the line? How did that manifest itself to you?
Well, and it may sound surprising when I give you my answer. We first filed our nonprofit application in the summer of 2010, and it was sort of all quiet until the, I guess it was January of 2011, and all of a sudden the FBI starts showing up. They actually showed up later in 2010, but we started getting audited personally. My business was audited. And everything, to be very honest with you, in the outset, just kind of seemed like, man, we're drawing a lot of short straws. But the more that it continued, the more you began to go, is it possible that this could be coordinated? And I didn't want to believe it. And I didn't breathe a word about it. But in February of 2012, I received a packet of questions from the IRS. It was my second or third round of questions on my application for nonprofit status for True the Vote. And the questions included things like, it was over 100 and some odd questions. And they gave us a little more than a week to respond and wanted to know, and you have to, of course, sign all these things or answer all of these things in under penalty of perjury. So you've got to be very thorough in your responses, and if you don't respond, they can just decline your application altogether. But they asked me, they wanted to know every Facebook posting I'd ever posted, they wanted to see every tweet I'd ever tweeted, They wanted to know, as I said in my testimony, they wanted to know everywhere I'd ever spoken since the inception of the organization and to whom and what I said and where I intended to speak in the future, things that went so far beyond the pale that there was just no more question that this was political gamesmanship. This was not about the nonprofit status. If they really had that many questions or if they were really that concerned, they could have just declined the application. But they were using the opportunity to extract information for partisan gain. And even still, it was all we were dealing with, you know, a war on many fronts. Quite candidly, we were dealing with the IRS on the nonprofit side, the FBI, and then on the private side, we were dealing with Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and OSHA, and IRS, and it really all came to a head when BATF came out that second time for the second audit. When I'd absolutely had my fill, and that's when we sued the IRS, and it's been game on ever since.
Well, that's interesting. Now, just as a human interest perspective, when these folks came to you from the FBI, IRS, those who were coming and asking for all of this additional information, did you, and obviously it's an opinion thing, but did you find that these folks who came were folks who seemed to understand the mission and were actually, you know, glad that they could be engaged in this targeting? Or, you know, did you find people who really were reluctant to be doing what they were doing, but they were just kind of following orders? You know, how deep has this gone? What'd you see?
That's a great question. I will say that of the various agencies and analysts and auditors that we worked with, there were many who said, yeah, we don't really know why we got sent here. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing to, you know, nothing to see here. But without exception, every single person that we dealt with that represented those agencies at the actual level of interaction with us were nothing but cordial and professional and just doing their jobs. You know, they were just trying to follow instruction and weren't doing anything, you know, as a practical matter, doing anything outside of what their agencies are allowed to do. They can come in. OSHA can come in and do an audit. BATF can come in and do an inspection. But it was the timing and the rapid succession of you know, the alphabet soup that appeared at my door when for 16 previous years in business, we'd never seen anyone. And all of a sudden, there is just this litany. For no apparent reason, I have no issue with the people that came out. I have great issue with whoever pointed them in our direction, and I am now, with every passing day, more sure than the day before that this was an orchestrated attempt to target and silence me.
I think, you know, it's, I mean, I could give an example, too. I want to go to Rick Trader, who's on the phone here, I mean, who was with us in the studio as well, and wants to ask you a question. But I wanted to ask you that question for the folks who are listening, because that's what's been my sense. And what you're saying is what gives precedent, not precedent, but gives credence to the fact that these kinds of things are not the individual actions of some individual down on the floor with no making an independent decision to go out and do these kinds of things, as we have heard, but knowing how government works and the bureaucracy works, it is a decision that comes down from the top. And you're really saying nice people doing their job, don't know what they're doing, but carrying out the will of others on top, and that's really the issue. That's the policy behind this thing. I didn't know what I was going to hear from you, but I'm actually glad that I heard what you said. Rick, you've got a couple questions here.
Yeah, Catherine, great to have you with us. This is sure an honor and a pleasure to talk with you. When the FBI, OSHA, Bureau of Tobacco, Alcohol, and Firearms, have you ever threatened any public official? I mean, seriously, Catherine, I mean, I could, okay, IRS, you're filing for a 501c4. I could understand maybe the IRS. Maybe I can understand OSHA because you and your husband own a business. But the FBI, the ATF, are you guys terrorists down there in Texas? I mean, what, you know, help me connect the dots here, Catherine.
The ATF came out because we do have a federal firearms license, and as part of your acceptance of licensure, that agency has the right to, or the authority to come in and audit your books. Now, what's ironic about it is that we have a license to make gun parts. We've never made a single gun part, and those filings that you have to file very regularly with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms show clearly that we don't do any business. But nonetheless, they still came out and did not one, but two audits on us. But they are within their rights to do it. They can do an audit up to every 12 months. So they did one, and then they did another one 13 months apart. On the FBI side, the FBI actually visited and then did many follow-up calls to our on the nonprofit side. And it was the domestic terrorism unit that came out and talked to us and questioned us. So, you know, it's when you're in the moment and you're going through it, you're really just sort of doing the best you can to be a good citizen and you know, be of assistance and be forthcoming. But as these agencies start to stack up, you get to a place where the unthinkable becomes reality. And then we've had some very hard decisions to make. And the first step was suing the IRS, which we did promptly.
Yeah.
And it's still ongoing.
Catherine, I'm trying to think outside the box here, because I, like you, don't necessarily want to think that we have such a vicious government that maybe we do, because you're not alone in your story. There's a lot of others that are in a similar situation. However, one time I was in the exterminating business, and at the time I was controlled by an organization in the state called the Department of Environmental Protection, and at one time I had a disgruntled employee, somebody I had to fire. Well, that disgruntled employee went to the DEP and made a whole bunch of allegations at me. And once allegations are made, they investigate. Could it have been possibly an employee that was mad at you? Could it possibly have been somebody in your community that you had maybe a sour word with?
I guess at this point I would have to first say anything is possible.
Yeah.
What I can say further from that, though, is that we have submitted FOIA requests to each agency asking for our files to try to understand the genesis of each of the audits or investigations. And in each case, they appear to have been initiated through a different means. And it's more than what time allows to really explain how even inside of those differences, there are some similarities, but there doesn't appear to be a singular sort of, you know, call or complaint or something that you can pin on one person or any specific event. From the layman's perspective, and until you really get into the weeds, it would appear that all these agencies acted independently. It's only when you step back at the 30,000-foot level and begin to add some additional details for context do you really begin to see the full scope of the targeting.
Well, Catherine and Sam, you know, one thing I wanted to ask about these new regulations that are being pushed by people like Chuck Schumer in New York. The unions are exempt from these new regulations. Am I correct in that?
That's my understanding, yes, because they're not. They have a different nonprofit classification altogether.
Well, Catherine, you know, I'm gonna turn you back over to Sam, but I really identify with your story because I, like you, had no intentions of starting a radio show, but I saw what was going on with our country. I was also very motivated by the John Adams series that was on HBO, that I wanted to help find patriots that would put country ahead of party and politics. And so, Catherine, before I wanted to swing you back over to Sam, I just wanted to say congratulations for the steps that you're taking, Sam.
Thank you.
Yeah, Rick, I appreciate you mentioning that because, you know, that's the kind of thing that is happening across the country and important to keep if we're going to maintain and keep our First Amendment right. Catherine, you when you were there and gave testimony, you made a recommendation that I thought was quite astute, and you suggested and called for the House, Speaker Boehner, obviously leading that, to attach an amendment to the debt ceiling increase bill that would overrule these proposed IRS regulations and put these things to bed and to stop them. Now, I thought, number one, it's a good recommendation. That's the way things are done. Unfortunately, Speaker Boehner came out today and said that bill is going to run free of any amendment, which cuts out any kind of a recommendation that you had, among other things. My question to you is that, did you find any positive response to that suggestion from members of the committee when you were before them?
No. I can't say that I did. It's troubling that we still doesn't seem like we're at a place, even on the committee necessarily, that it's about finding solutions and putting this ugly chapter behind us. I'm all for, you know, anecdotal testimony. I'm all for telling the stories. But at some point, you've got to translate that passion into action, and that's what I'm pushing for.
And I think it's appropriate that you do. You know, I think it's interesting. We're winding down here, so I won't have just another minute or two. But it's surprising, not surprising in some respects, but it's significant. Let's put it that way. It's significant to note that there is not any real strong effort by leadership of the House or the Senate on really either party. It appears to me, anyway, is to try and to squash these regulations. Because at the end of the day, these regulations, if put into place, actually benefit every incumbent who's in office, regardless of which party. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you've made an astute point. I tend to think that most of our electeds have somehow lost the perspective of what the fight is really like in the trenches. This is bare knuckle in the street political blood sport. That's the bunch that we're playing against.
So, Catherine, we're about out of time. Would you please give our listeners where to go to find out more about you and True the Vote, please, before we go?
They can go to truethevote.org to find out about our organization, and they can go to wewillnotbesilenced.org to find out more about how they can get involved in having their voices heard and stop these regulations against nonprofits.
All right. Thank you much. Catherine Engelbrecht of True the Vote, www.truethevote.org. Go there, find out more about what Catherine is doing. Thank you for standing up and being willing to testify. And we just pray Godspeed to you and all that you're doing.
All right, Bella. So there you have it. Now put yourself in the place of Catherine Engelbrecht, okay? You're a small businesswoman, correct?
Correct.
All right, now you're minding your own business. You're running your businesses as you do. At the same time, maybe you start a radio show where you talk out about things that are bothering you. And then all of a sudden, out of the clear, out of the blue, you're getting contacted by the IRS. You're getting contacted by the DEP. You're being contacted by the FBI. You're being contacted by the Bureau of Tobacco, Alcohol, and Firearms. Now, you've been in business for years and years and years. You've never even been so much as audited by the IRS. And all of a sudden, all these alphabet agencies are coming down around your neck. What would that make you think?
Are any of them single?
Are any All of right. them single?
Guys, I gotta laugh a little bit.
Now here I'm trying to be serious again, and you know, here we go.
We gotta break it up a little bit, Rick. But what would I think? The thing that, as I was listening to her, is that I thought when she said she was really trying to figure out if it was coincidental. I mean, my first thought was I wouldn't say I think this is coincidental. I mean, I know I would sit here and I'd say, you know, it's because of what I'm doing. It's because I'm speaking out. But, you know, even as I was getting ready for the show and I'm watching Fox and they're talking about how now, you know, I mean, she's right. They're blatantly targeting. And they first say, oh, we didn't mean to, so we're going to stop it. And now it's just blatant. Rick, what I say, though, is I would rather them be out and be as tactful, because what I said prior to you coming on, this is what is enraging this country and getting more people to wake up. I mean, the more blatant they are, the more threatening and criminal in their behavior. I mean, how can it not stop us from just getting enraged and getting involved?
We would hope so. You know, I have said for quite some time that Barack Obama has done us all a favor, and that is he has woken us up. He really has. He is the most divisive president that we have had since Abraham Lincoln. Where Lincoln divided the country north and south, Barack Obama has divided us left and right, black and white, male and female, sane and insane, in awakening the right up. What he's done, he's also helped to give us a voice. He really has. Without Barack Obama, we wouldn't have the Tea Party. Let's say if it was a Democrat that was elected, say like Hillary Clinton. I really don't think that as bad as Hillary Clinton is, that she would be as bad and as polarizing and as divisive as Barack Obama.
I completely agree with you. And, you know, we have a lot of
Now, let me just say that does not mean I am endorsing Hillary Clinton in any way, you know, for president. But I just wanted to make that clear. But I just don't think even she would be as bad, would be as divisive as Barack Obama.
I agree. And just so people knew that are listening tonight, if you haven't figured out, Rick very much likes taking control and telling me what to do. And that's one of the things that he told me when we agreed to do this. He said, I'm going to be in control of this. But I have said for a long time, Rick, that you've been a great friend and mentor, and you've been helping me, and you did help me make a decision in moving forward with Salem, and there are some things that we have to work on when we get to syndication, but one of the things that we are very similar in is, just like you said, you started your radio show because you watched this country, and couldn't get people to pay attention and to listen, so you started your radio show about the same time as I started mine, and I agree with you. You know, and I say this all the time, at what point was this country going to start to wake up and get involved again? And, you know, we've got we have the man with the plan, and he is doing everything possible to run as lawless as possible. I mean, he's running around with his pen and cell phone now. But, you know, you can't go anywhere without conversation. All you have to do is mention health care. And, you know, you've got more people talking and enraged than even the media understands. I know that to be true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, no, you're absolutely right. Well, Bella, you know, you got to hand it to people like Catherine that she did stand up for her rights. And when she stands up for her rights, she's standing up for all our rights by saying to big government, listen, enough is enough. And if you think your tactics are going to scare me off, you have something else coming. I'm not going to run and hide just because you sick your attack dogs on me, which a lot of people would, Bella. A lot of people would, and I bet a lot of people have already. And it is a real shame that this is happening in our country today.
I want to give my hats off to Catherine Engelbrecht as well for being an incredible patriot and for fighting for all of us. And, you know, it is what it is. I mean, we have never lived, and I say this all the time, we haven't lived in a time in this country where we are completely under attack. You know, when I was driving earlier today, Rick, and I was listening to the local radio station that this show will get picked up on first, which is AM 1090 KTGO. And they were talking, you know, the sad statement that was made on the radio today is that the liberals have complete control. The liberalism has taken over. It has taken complete control. Just as I was watching Jan Brewer actually voted against, and I don't have the number, but it was allowing businesses to, depending on your religious preference, could discriminate. Mm-hmm. I mean, insane laws. As I sat there and I'm stirring up the tuna fish in George's shack and I'm listening to this and that, it's gone so insane. It's the point. That's why, Rick, when I'm still trying to keep the humor about this, because us here in the oil field, they are so sick and tired of watching Fox and the insanity and the madness that they look to me to bring some humor and to bring some sunshine to these tough days out here when we sit here and we just wonder, it's like, at what point will the rest of this country, you know, how do we get some very important people in large places? One of my company men asked me today, why don't you ask, what would we think if Phil Robertson from Duck Dynasty ran for president? And I've always said, it needs to be a businessman, it needs to be somebody with deep pockets, but at some point, somebody's got to do something, because the biggest crime are those Republicans in office that, I mean, it doesn't matter, they joined the country club, and they're allowing all
Well, I totally agree with you. You know, Bella, it's almost like we conservatives are fighting on two different fronts. Not
yes.
only are we fighting the Democrats and the left and the liberals, but we're also fighting these rhino Republicans. You know, the rhino Republicans have declared an all-out war on conservatives. But I'll tell you something, Bella. It's backfiring on them. Do you remember Ted Cruz standing up in the Senate and filibustering? And after that, you had people like John McCain coming out and saying Ted Cruz is destroying this country and the Republican Party. You had Republicans like Mitch McConnell coming out and saying that. You had John Boehner coming out and saying the same thing. Well, interestingly, there was an article on the internet today how in Texas they're having a primary race that's coming up in March, I think March 4th. Well, it seems like all the Republicans that are running are trying to run to Ted Cruz and use Ted Cruz as an example of what they're running for. Isn't that interesting, Bella?
McCain, is he actually alive? Because, I wonder if he was just reconstituted, because every time I watch the guy, it's like, seriously, is he actually alive? It's one of the great things that has given me hope is that J.D. Winteregg, who is running a for Boehner's spot, he's got a pretty big endorsement that Joel was telling me about today. It has not been made official.
Was that from Bella D'Angelo?
Well, yes, I am one of them. He did come on the show, but I had Dave Bratt, who's going after Eric Cantor. And, when he came on the show, both of them said they want to come back on, but the refreshing part is, here's the refreshing part, these are business people. These are non-politicians. And they are gaining momentum. They are gaining ground. And when you have hope, you got to hold it in your hand. You got to spread it around. Because when did you ever see in this country real strong business people, non-politicians, standing up, just like Catherine, just like the rest of us doing our radio shows and everything that we are doing, and saying, we got to take them on because this is the only chance at slowing down this insanity and this madness.
I agree. You know, Bella, one of the heartening things is, since I've started doing the Conservative Commandos radio show, that, by the way, you can listen to every day from 3 to 5 East Coast time, please go to our website, www.conservativecommandosradioshow.com, and you'll find our listen live link. One of the heartening things about doing what we do on Conservative Commandos is we have found several people who, when I wake up in the morning and think what is going to go on today, or late at night when things are going bad, I think there are some people in Washington who do have our backs. For instance, Congressman Stephen King from Iowa. Congressman Louie Gohmert from Texas, Congressman Steve Stockman from Texas, who, by the way, is running for U.S. Senate. Another one of our very good friends on the Conservative Commandos radio show is Dr. Paul Brown. Dr. Brown represents the 10th Congressional District in Georgia. Dr. Brown is also running to gain the Republican nomination to run for the U.S. Senate from Georgia. Well, Dr. Brown came on the Conservative Commandos radio show just last week. And by the way, I should say, and I was remiss in pointing out that my co-host to do these interviews was Sam Rohrer. But Sam and I had an opportunity to talk with Congressman Brown, and it was about a connecting story to the Kathleen Bright's Engelbrecht story, and that is this, and this will floor you, Bella. The Internal Revenue Service has announced that it is giving out an estimated $62.5 million of our taxpayer dollars, and it is going to go to performance awards for IRS employees. And I'll give you this number again. $62.5 million taxpayer dollars to employees of the IRS. Now, I have no idea why government employees need to get a bonus in the first place. Secondly, why are employees of the IRS getting bonuses? And I wonder if they are getting bonuses to go after Kathleen Engelbrecht.
I can't take it. Let's do this, because we still have Donald Huber joining. And Donald Huber, he fights very hard going after these career politicians. He's going to come on, but he'll be on at 8:30, but he'll have to just wait and queue because we got to play a Paul's interview. So set up Paul, and I'll hit play.
Okay, and again, this is Congressman Paul Brown. By the way, he is a candidate. As I said, he's running for Senate. And this Dr. Paul Brown is a man we conservatives from all over the country need to get behind because when elected, not only will he represent the state of Georgia, but he will be representing all of us in America. So with that, Bella, why don't you play the interview that Sam and I did with Congressman Paul Brown?
You got it, dear. Hang on.
We are glad to have with us here returning guest, Congressman Paul Brown from the 10th Congressional District in Georgia. He's a primary care physician by earlier trade before God put him where he is. But since he's rivaled in Congress, he's been appointed to the House Homeland Security Committee, House Committee on Natural Resources, currently serves as chairman of the Investigations and Oversight Committee for the House Science and Technology Committee. He's also seeking the Republican nomination to run for the Senate in Georgia. Congressman Brown, welcome back to the Conservative Commando Radio Show.
Sam, it's always a great pleasure to be with you guys, and I really appreciate the great job that you do to try to inform the American people, and let's mobilize we the people to take our country back. Let me add something to what you just said. I actually still practice medicine. I'm a Navy medical doctor in the Navy Reserves, and I go down to Quantico, to the Marine Corps base Quantico, and I see patients down there. It's actually deployed to Afghanistan in 2012. I was over there taking care of sick and injured Marines and soldiers. So I'm still practicing medicine, even though I'm a member of Congress.
Well, see, that's a wonderful thing, Congressman, because in this business of looking at a very, very sick national leadership and a sick economy, and I don't want to make the comparison so obvious, but having folks who do know how to analyze problems, and particularly from a truthful perspective, as you do, is very, very critical in these days, and we have a lot to talk about. I would like to, Congressman, just kind of go to something. We've been talking a lot about the IRS here today on this program, just kind of way it worked out. But the IRS, just recently, the commissioner made a statement that they wanted to come out and give performance bonuses to those in the bureaucracy, IRS, for doing such good work. And I just like to know from a general perspective, as to the wisdom or justification for giving for any bureaucracy giving out performance bonuses at a time when millions of Americans are out of work and or being put out of work by policies such as Obamacare that are emanating from this administration. This seems odd.
I agree with you, Sam. It's very odd. In fact, they're recommending that they give out, and I assume they're going to proceed to do so, give out $62.5 million of taxpayers' hard-earned money towards these so-called performance awards for IRS employees. We've got this IRS scandal that Barack Obama just recently, in an interview on Fox News with Bill O'Reilly, he said, to quote, "not even a smidgen of corruption." Well, apparently from this president, whatever he says is factual, but that's not factual. We have a cloud hanging over the Internal Revenue Service right now today because they're targeting the conservative entities that were applying for tax-exempt or tax-free status from the IRS, and these conservative groups, whether they were Tea Party groups or pro-life groups, were targeted specifically. And you have Lois Lerner, who takes the Fifth Amendment on testimony before the committees here in Congress, and then they allow her to retire. And I guess they're going to give her a big retirement for the rest of her life. We need to get to the bottom of this. She may be subject to prosecution instead of being awarded all this big retirement, and then all the other IRS employees getting this $62.5 million worth of bonuses. I think it's just totally inappropriate.
Well, you know, I mean, it's inappropriate to me too. It seems as well. Now, the quote was by the commissioner, quote, "these payouts are in recognition of that great work done in very trying circumstances," end quote. Now, I look at that and I say, Congressman Brown, do you have any idea, because it's all about defining of terms. You know, the president said hope and change. People think one thing, but then he thinks something else. I look at this and I say, great work. What great work is the commissioner possibly talking about in these days?
I don't know. You're correct, Sam. The president was talking about hope and change, and hope we still have left some change in our pockets after this president and his administration continue to fleece us from Obamacare and all the rest of this big government agenda that they're trying to force upon the American people, and it just has to stop. But the IRS shouldn't be giving bonuses to anybody, as far as I'm concerned, particularly where there's still a cloud hanging over them of corruption. And the FBI is investigating them, and it's an ongoing investigation in what they did. We don't even know one way or the other whether they've even broken the law or not, but certainly what they were doing was in targeting political opponents of this administration is certainly unethical. I think it's immoral for them to have done so. And then giving them a bonus for doing that hard work? I don't think so.
Yeah, see, it's an amazing thing. You know, we just had a guest on prior to you being on, Congressman Brown, her name is Catherine Engelbrecht. You may have heard her. She heads up Crew the Vote. And she testified before the House Oversight Committee last week about her when she had been targeted. The FBI came in, the IRS came in, ATF came in, and so forth. All of them at one point or another surrounded them because of their involvement with Crew the Vote. And I asked her a question. And I said, just out of curiosity, Catherine, when those folks that you actually dealt with on the ground, those who came to you for the audit, those who were talking to you on the ground, did they appear to you to be kind of like reluctant individuals who were just obeying orders that they were given, or, you know, were they actual folks that were glad to be down there and they knew what the mission of harassment was all about? And she said, you know, good question. She said, no, all of those that she had dealt with were really folks who said, we have no idea why we're doing this. There's not an issue, yet we are being told to do it, which then supports a lot of this conversation that goes all the way back up and says it did come all the way from the top. So it's critical, you know, to me, this happens. Now, in perspective, what Congress is doing, do you really think that anything is going to be done out of this? Are we going to see any justice done, or are we just going to be dragging this thing out and playing a game?
Well, I hope justice is going to prevail in this. In fact, this whole country is absolutely should be demanding that we get to the bottom and that justice is served. In fact, I think most Americans believe, as I do, that we should be controlled under the rule of law, not under the rule of man. But this president seems to think that he can do whatever he wants to. In fact, he just said that just a day or two ago, that he can do whatever he wants to do. And that is a very dangerous attitude that this president and his administration has. The EPA has the same attitude. They are creating regulatory burdens on small businesses and on the electric companies. They're closing down 15 power plants in Georgia, as an example, and the president himself said that the cost of energy under his policies will, to quote him, necessarily skyrocket. And who gets hurt most? But poor people and senior citizens on limited income. In fact, this administration has been, as far as I'm concerned, had more political scandals than I've heard from any other administration. You look at what's going on with the IRS, with the NSA, where NSA is gathering email records from you and me and every American, getting our phone records, looking at content when they have absolutely no constitutional right to do so. We've got Fourth Amendment protections against unreasonable search and seizure, and they are violating the Fourth Amendment in doing all that. You look at Benghazi and what happened there. You look at virtually every issue that's on the news. It's all a reflection of a government that's just totally out of control. It's become too big, too burdensome, too intrusive. Both parties are guilty of building this government that's totally out of control, and we've got to have some fundamental changes in government. And those changes need to go back to the fundamental principles that made it great of the U.S. Constitution. And that's what I'm fighting for here in Washington. That's what I'll be doing as long as Georgians continue to send me here, whether it's as a congressman or as a U.S. senator. I'm going to be fighting to change this government back to the fundamentals that made this country great.
Absolutely, Congressman. We are really, really... excuse me, I got a cough. Rick Traer, can I pass off to you, please?
Sure. This is Life and Live Radio, Congressman. Congressman Brown, great to have you back with us. Congressman Brown, great to have you back with us.
Rick, it's always great to talk to you.
Congressman, as we're talking, I got a couple of messages from some of my Facebook friends about our conversation with you. One of my friends says, performance bonuses for what? Harassing taxpayers? And another one asks, how are these bonuses determined? But I also found an article that was in the Washington Times that came out this past week. And apparently, Commissioner John Koskinen said the bonuses were needed to retain and attract good employees at a time of cutbacks. But Congressman, everything that we're hearing about the Internal Revenue Service, and mostly thanks to Obamacare, it's actually expanding at a tremendous rate.
Absolutely. In fact, Rick, I want to get rid of the IRS altogether, and the only way to do that is to pass a national retail sales tax, a fair tax. And
God bless.
I'm an ardent supporter of the fair tax. But the issue is not how they get our taxes, but it's how big government's gotten to be, and the out-of-control spending, the out-of-control taxing, the out-of-control Internal Revenue Service, all of this idiocy of giving these $62.5 million of bonuses to these people that don't deserve them as far as I'm concerned. I don't see any reason that they deserve any bonuses from everything I can ascertain at this point. All of those things are symptoms. They're symptoms. Even Obamacare itself is a symptom of a government that's totally out of control. The disease is out-of-control government and a government that has just become too big. You see, if we were following the Constitution, as I believe Constitution should be, and I believe government should be operating under the Constitution as our founding fathers meant for it, they were very clear what they meant for it to be through their writings, then we should, members of Congress should be citizen legislators. They should not
right.
be full-time politicians. And it's we've had both parties increase the size and scope of government. We've just got to go back. We've got to make major change in how government operates here in Washington, D.C. That's the reason I say, let's close down the Department of Education. Let's close down the EPA. Let's close down the IRS. Let's close down the Department of Energy, the Department of Commerce, and Department of Labor. All those things can be done in the states. We should not have those big bloated bureaucracies and this bonus situation with IRS is just an indication of people within government who just have totally lost contact with reality.
I agree.
But let me give you a quote too. This is from Colleen Kelly, who is the president of the National Treasury Employees Union, the union of mm-hmm. IRS employees. She said, "Payment of these payment of these earned awards to employees is an important step in recognizing their valuable contributions to the IRS and the nation. The awards are a relatively small amount of money. $62.5 million is a small amount of money, my foot. But they go a long way towards acknowledging the hard work of employees who exceed their performance expectations for the year." Let's get rid of the IRS. Let's get rid of Colleen Kelly and her union by passing the fair tax and getting rid of the IRS. Let's shrink the size of government. So in fact, I believe if 10% is good enough for the Lord, it ought to be good enough for Uncle Sam.
I agree. Congressman, you know, you were talking about the National Treasury Employees Union that represents many IRS workers. They argue that canceling the bonuses, last year these bonuses were canceled, canceling these bonuses was illegal under the union's collective bargaining agreement. And agency officials said that about 43 million of this was to go to labor unions. I don't know that bonuses should be calculated into any union agreement, especially with the taxpayer.
Well, Rick, let me remind you of something that former President Franklin Delano Roosevelt said. He said that government employees should not have collective bargaining, and I agree with FDR. They're one of the few things I agree with FDR about, but we should not. It's a conflict of interest for government unions. If they want to have a union to gather together, certainly they have a First Amendment right of assembly. But to have collective bargaining as a government employee, I don't agree with that. And I agree with FDR on that very issue. And again, this goes back to this twisted mentality that government workers have, that it is due them, that it is a God-ordained right for them to get these bonuses, evidently, and it's something that just is a reflection of a government that's just totally out of control, and the government workers are totally out of control in their mentality. So we've got to shrink the size and scope of government, and that's exactly what I've been trying to do ever since I've been elected to Congress for 6.5 years now. And I'm running for the U.S. Senate, leaving a very safe U.S. House seat, running for the U.S. Senate because this out-of-control government is going to lead us to being right. right where Detroit, Michigan is today, and both parties are taking us down that track.
Yes,
it
they are.
It's just got to stop. We're headed towards a total economic meltdown of this nation if we don't stop spending money that we don't have. We're going to have a vote in just a few minutes on raising the debt ceiling, and I'm going to vote no. I've never voted to raise the debt ceiling since I've been in Congress in 6.5
Good
years. We should be shrinking the size of government, not raising the debt ceiling, because what we're doing is we're stealing our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren's future. We're stealing their money to pay for this out-of-control government today, and it's not right. It's not right for them. It's not right for us. It's just got to stop. And that's what I've been fighting ever since I've been here, and all this stuff with the IRS, I started to use a bad word, and I caught myself, but it's so frustrating for me because you've got this mentality that the whole world owes them these bonuses, and it's just all a reflection of a government that is just totally out of control and is too big and too burdensome and too intrusive. It's just got to stop. The disease is an out-of-control government that's too big, and it's way beyond the foundational principles that made this country great. We already see this idea of a big government that both parties have fostered is leading to a situation where our economy's just sputtering along. People don't have work today. We've got folks that are leaving the workforce. We've got the lowest labor participation rate that we've had in a long time, and it's because of this out-of-control government and particularly the failed policies of this administration, and it's just got to stop.
It does, Congressman. We thank you for your leadership, and that's obviously why one of the reasons you have, if not the best, one of the best and most consistent voting records in the House, and we thank you about it. Your sense on this budget vote today, which the Speaker has said it wants to go clean, never really happened before, I guess, prohibiting amendments being attached to it. He wants to see a lot of Democrats put up votes for it, but I thought I heard him say that the Republicans were going to give enough votes in order to make it pass. Is that what's going to happen?
I think that's what will happen, yes. And the reason for that is because you've got too many Republicans up here that like the power. They like the control. They want big government just like the Democrats do. They just want a more efficient big government. And it's got to stop. And we, the people, have to demand something different. That's what's going to change Washington, is when we, the people, rise up all across this country and say, by golly, we're sick and tired of this. We're not going to put up with it anymore. We're going to throw you out of office if you don't change. And we, the people, have to stand up and say, we're not going to put up with these IRS employees getting these bonuses. We're not going to put up with this big IRS that's attacking conservative groups. We're not going to put up with all this regulatory burden. We're not going to put up with our electric bills and our gasoline cost and the cost of food being high because of these failed policies of this administration. We're sick and tired of it. We're not going to put up with it anymore. We're going to take this country back. We're going to put this country back on the course that our founding fathers gave us, and that is limited government under the Constitution as they intended it, not this expanded idea that Republicans and Democrats alike are operating under. And
that's exactly correct. Well, Congressman, we're going to go in just 1 minute. I want you to take just 1 minute before we go and be a little bit more precise. How far should the people go who are listening in order to communicate what we're talking about? In many cases, they don't have an option of putting somebody back in office who is good. Is there something specifically that people ought to be thinking more specifically about how to express their urgent action in response to what we're talking about here?
They need to melt down the phone lines in Washington, D.C., as well as in the states to their senators and district offices to their congressmen. They need to be calling, emailing, writing, doing everything that they can to communicate with their elected representatives in Washington, saying, we're not going to put up with this anymore, and if you keep on, we're going to throw you out of office. We'll find somebody else that will stand firm on the Constitution as our founding fathers meant it, and that means limited government. And then do so, and help those who are trying to do the right thing to get into office so that we can have people here that will shrink the size and scope of government.
Well, Congressman, you are doing that. You are also, as we said, you are running for Senate, and I congratulate you on your endorsement by the Madison Project. For that, is there something that you want to tell our folks that they can do to help you if they're interested in furthering good guys like you running for positions of that position?
Absolutely. They can go on my website, paulbrown.com, and a lot of our listeners don't know that Brown is spelled B-R-O-U-N. It's Brown with a U instead of a W. Now, some people want to try to make it an A, but it's B-R-O-U-N, paulbrown.com. They can sign up for email newsletters. They can be a friend on Facebook. They can repost there to their Facebook page. They can follow me on Twitter, Instagram links there. They can sign up for my email newsletters. They can do just help in any way that they possibly can by going on my website, paulbrown.com, and then check me out, and then they can send me suggestions about what we need to be doing here, too.
Congressman right. Sam, before we let the congressman go, Sam, I want to just say, Congressman, from what we understand, Georgia's going to get hit real bad with this ice storm. Just want to let you know that our thoughts and prayers are with the good people of Georgia.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it, Rick. In fact, I talked to my son about 3 hours ago, and he said it was sleeting in Oconee County, Athens, Georgia, where I live then, and they're forecasting a lot of ice and snow and sleet the next few days, and they're forecasting people lose power for a long period of time, so I appreciate your prayers.
All right.
Absolutely.
Thank you,
Congressman, for being with us today. We are going to support you in every way we can. Keep up the good work, and God bless your efforts.
PaulBrown.com. Yeah, you
are. PaulBrown.com. All right, Rick.
Yeah, PaulBrown.com. B-R-O-U-N. PaulBrown.com.
All right. Thanks so much. Thanks for being with us.
God bless you. Most of all, people can pray for me. I need that the most. I need people's money, and I need their vote, and I need their support, but I need their prayers more than anything else.
Well, you got them, Congressman, and we're surely going to have you on more in the future. PaulBrown.com. We conservatives need to get behind a man like Paul Brown. This is the kind of man that we need in Washington representing all of us, not just Georgia.
Thank you so much. God bless.
Take care. God bless.
All right, fella, can you understand now why I get charged when I know that there are people like Paul Brown down in Washington protecting our backs? This is a solid guy, and, you know, as we talked about in the interview, he is running for Senate. I just want to read something about Dr. Brown that's on his website. He writes on his website, "I am committed to protecting the constitutional rights and pocketbooks of every American. I will apply the following four-way test in every piece of legislation that comes before the House for a vote. One, is it right and moral? Two, is it constitutional? Three, is it necessary? Four, is it affordable?" Ballot, if every congressman and every senator in Washington adhered to those four principles, we would be living in a lot better country today.
Amen, and I completely support Paul Brown. What a very, very solid. This is, and I got to say, these are pre-recorded interviews that we're playing tonight. We also have Donald Huber in queue, and I'm going to pick him up here in a second. Donald Huber is a staunch patriot. You'll enjoy talking with him, Rick, if you can stay on. He fights
sure.
against these career politicians every single day. So, Rick, if you don't mind, I'm going to let him join the program.
Not at all.
Good evening, Donald. How are you?
Hi, sorry I'm late in getting on. I've had a very difficult day that started at 5 a.m. this morning Eastern Time. But I want to add something to what Rick said and what Paul Brown, I just heard some of the last comments. Those four points he just made fit right into the pitch you have heard me make for some time and the focus of my mission, which I call the E Pluribus Unum Common Good. If those four points would be thought about, if he would make sure as he listens to and considers all legislation brought before the House, is it in the E Pluribus Unum Common Good best interest of all America? If it is, it's going to be moral, it's going to be constitutional, and it will be affordable.
Amen. I just, you know what I was saying earlier, I'm just so, I have hope now as I see these candidates that have come on this show now, and we've got businessmen who are non-politicians running after these big seats, with gentlemen like Paul Brown and the rest of them, J.D. Winteregg, who's going after Boehner's position, Dave Bratt that's going after Eric Cantor. We got to get behind these guys. And what are we doing? Well, we're doing our job, which is getting out there on the airwaves and getting people listening and getting people tuning in and getting people aware and supporting these guys. Because, you know, I'll guarantee you the regular media, well, I don't even talk about the regular media, who gives a crap. We're the new media. We're the new media, and it's our, you know, this is what has gained the momentum is the grassroots. And just like you said earlier, Rick, it's us. It's up to us to get this job done.
I also hope that Rick and everyone else will understand, and Bella, you've heard me say this before, I no longer call myself a conservative-leaning Republican. I call myself a patriot and a constitutionalist, and I came up with the new slogan just recently after our Monday night talk with Neil Monroe. I think what we should say is we're the alternative conservatism in America. I talked today to a Democrat. He is a strong Democrat, but he's unhappy with government. And I told him about my radio appearances and my TV shows over the last 5 years, and I told him how I'm getting positive feedback from both Tea Partiers and occupiers, from liberals and conservatives, from Republicans and Democrats. But the Democrats or the occupiers or the independents who do not want to be Republican or do not want to be called just a conservative, but they believe in and understand conservative principles, and I've suggested, then call yourself an alternative conservative. And they like that, because that way they can kind of be a second new group. And it's become very popular, but this Democrat I talked to today, he especially liked that. He said, you know what, I am going to call myself an alternative conservative. And I think we need to do that, because conservatism alone has become part of the Washington establishment, just like a lot of people say. The Republican Party and Democratic Party are identical. There's really no major difference. Conservatism.
Well, actually, the Republican Party is the Democrat Party of 40, 50 years ago.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
You know, that's how far to the left the mainstream Republican Party has gone, and the conservative wing of the Republican Party, headed by people like Louie Gohmert and Stephen King, Michelle Bachmann, and Paul Brown, they're the ones that are trying to pull it back to the right, to the party of Ronald Reagan.
Well, I think we need to avoid tying ourselves to any of the career politicos. Any of the old establishment, I don't care if they're conservative or middle of the road or if they're independent, if they're strong old-time politicians that have been around for years, they're part of the problem, not part of the solution.
I agree. You know, Donald, it seems like there's something in the water in Washington. I believe that most of these people go to Washington that have the right ideas, have good intentions, but once they get down there, once they smell that power, it's something corrupts them, and they don't want to leave. They don't want to let go. They do everything within their power to stay. And that's one of the reasons we need term limits.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I'm very strong for that. I agree with you.
One of the things that, well, the thing when Neil Monroe, who's the White House correspondent that came on the other night, you know, he described the environment. And listening to him and Donald, it was hard for me to listen to because at the same time, I mean, he, of course, he's playing on the losing team. And, of course, he does his job outside of being a White House correspondent, speaking the truth of what is going on in this country. But the problem is as he described this, you know, this arrogant, self-bloviated, insulated. It was like listening to a dinner party with a bunch of just arrogant asses that have, you know, they're so far removed that the reality doesn't affect them, right? It's like being in a very, very wealthy resort town where there's no crime, the real world doesn't exist, everybody just has lots of money and runs around and has fun and parties. I mean, that's what it is. And,
right.
and so the problem is,
and
when, oh, go ahead.
Well, as Rick said, once they get there, it just takes a year or two and they get entrenched and they get overwhelmed with the power and the influence. Therefore, I'm suggesting, in fairness to the newcomers, we need to throw out all of the long-term incumbents. Anybody that's been in any of the public offices for three terms or more, we should thank them and send them home. We should have a new group. That way, Rick, if we have a lot of new people down there only in their first or maybe their second term, they will have the guts, I think, to all stand united and say, now we're going to make changes. But when you've got the old crowd there in power, because it's not a merit system, it's a seniority system. The longer you've been there, the more power you have.
And Donald, you're absolutely right, and our founding fathers never intended our government officials to be full-time professional career politicians. I really do believe that they envisioned our future leaders to be like they were. They were part-time volunteers that came together to fit a cause. And that's why they kept adjourning after they did their work. They saw themselves as part-time volunteers.
We had fit that mold. The last two we've had are Dwight David Eisenhower and Ronald Reagan. They were truly heroes that took the position.
I agree with that. And again, Bella and Donald, this is one thing that I really do feel we need to change in our political, with our politicians. We have to, and we control it. We really do. That one of the things that we should support in candidates that are candidates that are for term limits and are serious about it. A lot of there's candidates that say, oh, I believe in term limits. There's one congressman from New Jersey. His name is Frank Lobiondo. He swore up and down when he first got elected that he was going to term limit himself. 12 years, six terms, that's all he was going to serve. Well, I think he said that about 18 years ago, and he's still running.
Yeah.
So, like
well,
I said, there's
right.
something in the water down there.
It, and it's our fault that it happens. That's why I tried to create the negative or nasty term, and I call it career politicos. And I'm not saying everybody that's been there a long time. There are some long-time people who have done good, and they are well-meaning, but they're still ingrained in the system to the point where you've got to remember, if anybody is supporting a long-term career politician, you're supporting the cause of the problem. They're the ones that broke the bank, emptied the treasury, and followed a failed foreign policy agenda of warmongering that cost us this national debt we have. Obama did a lot of it, but I'll tell you, we Republicans did a lot of it by just ignoring and letting the Congress and the president do whatever they wanted. It started, Rick, when we were, as I've said several times, we've had, in my lifetime, we've had three what I call disastrous presidential tenures. I'm not condemning the candidate necessarily, but the tenure. JFK was assassinated. We were in shock and awe. LBJ came in with his arm twisting and passed the Great Society and started stealing from the Social Security Trust Fund, and a lot of people were shocked. The people that realized what was going on were shocked about that. Then along came Dick Nixon, a great foreign policy man, but he allowed his team to run wild with the Ellsberg and the Watergate, and we were shocked with that. And then what followed were three or four very trustworthy gentlemen. Jerry Ford, my former boss, Jimmy Carter, a very religious man, Ronald Reagan, and George H.W. Bush Sr. We were so complacent and happy and apathetic when they came in and were satisfied to think we don't need to worry about Washington and politics. We focused on our personal lives in those 30 or 40 years, and that's when the career politicos built their dynasty and built their power, and now they're in control. We've lost control. We need to say term limits, as you said, and we need to say absolutely, you're a fool if you're supporting a candidate that's been in any federal office for three or four terms.
Well, now, Donald, what I see as I see two big threats on the horizon. One is this immigration reform. We don't need immigration reform. We need to enforce the immigration laws that we have on the books now. That's number one. Number two, I see as another great threat, Hillary Clinton. I think that those two things that are the things that we conservatives need to target as the focus of our fight, that we have to stop this illegal, this amnesty bill. We have to stop that, because if amnesty is passed, the entire country is going to have the demographics of California. If you like what California looks like now, you'll love the United States after this immigration reform is passed. And then there's Hillary Clinton. I think that too many people, for instance, my Facebook friends, I love them, but when I go on, I see thing after posting after posting about Barack Obama. Hey, you know what? Barack Obama's there. He's been there for 5 years. He's going to be there for the next 3 years. There's no Republican in Washington in charge like a John Boehner who is ever going to bring articles of impeachment against him.
First of all, impeachment was a waste of time. Impeachment will never happen because it takes the indictment in the House but a trial and conviction in the Senate. And
correct.
The way the Senate is now,
correct.
It won't happen. Besides,
correct.
I don't think we need to impeach a man who was never lawfully elected.
Well, that's another argument. We could go there. But what I'm saying now, Donald, is we really need to focus on stopping Hillary Clinton. And if I could...
I don't agree with you for this reason. I don't think she is a threat at all. I don't think there's any chance in the world she will ever be president of the United States. But the dichotomy and the strange part about my pitch on this is that I don't think there's a Republican on the horizon that could beat her. But I don't think she will ever be president of the United States.
Well, let's hope not. By the way, if I could just say this, Bella, tomorrow on the Conservative Commandos radio show, we are having another courageous lady joining us, and her name is Kathleen Willey. And Kathleen Willey is one of the women that has accused Bill Clinton of sexually assaulting her in the Oval Office. And Kathleen is coming out recently by saying that Hillary Clinton is the war on woman as far as she's concerned, because with every woman that she's found out about and that she's made it a point to find out about every woman that has crossed Bill Clinton's life over the past few years, and she has orchestrated a terror campaign against these women, including Kathleen Willey. So if I could make a crass commercial announcement, please turn into the Conservative Commandos radio show tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and you can find us by going to our website, www.conservativecommandosradioshow.com, for our Listen Live link. But please tune in tomorrow to hear from Kathleen Willey.
I look forward to, you know, when I used to always hear, being back in Minneapolis, all the women, that's why I didn't get along in Minneapolis. First of all, they're all liberal. And trust me, there's no love lost between me and Minnesota, okay? I cannot stand or tolerate, and I break out in hives even thinking about going back there. But when I was there, they always talked about Hillary was the smartest woman they knew. And I would say, you know, she did the biggest disservice to women. And it's not shocking that she's going after, because, of course, I unfortunately dealt with liberal women, and they are some of the most mentally disturbed, evil creatures. They're tactful. They thrive on control and hatred, and all of which embodies, which, and then the insanity was that, you know, Hillary, instead of doing the right thing, which she should have just walked right out, but, you know, it's all for political, and it was all a game played out. She knew where she wanted to go, and so she just kept playing while taking out those women at the same time. It's sick. It's a sickness. But anyways, let's keep rolling on here, because we're coming up to the top. We've got only 6 minutes left. This, Rick, I got to say, Donald, we tried this out tonight. Rick has been a very good friend of mine and mentor. Rick used to listen to the show back a couple of years ago and would Facebook me and tell me how to take control and give me pointers, because I've had to learn a lot.
And you didn't follow your lessons, because I told you, never let a guy like me come on your show and control it, right, Bella? You didn't listen.
Yeah, but I'm going for the greater good. And you and I have a great relationship, and the idea is to kind of have, you know, the grumpy old you, which Donald, I actually had to call and wake him
from his after evening nap to come on the show tonight.
Well, you know, Donald, I told Bella, I said, well, you know, this is good for her because now she's gonna learn what it's like to deal with an old man who comes home after I do my show. I get home about 5:30. I eat dinner. I sit in my lazy boy chair, put an afghan on. My little kitty cat crawls on my lap, and we take a nap for a couple hours. So Bella had to call me to wake me up from my nap to come do the show today.
Well, I can see we have a big difference. The only common ground we have there is we're both sitting in our lazy boy chairs. And I'm from Monroe, Michigan originally, which is where Lazy Boy was made, and the Lazy Boy family are all personal friends. In fact, I went to school with the founder's son and daughter, and it was funny, their mother was my wife's grandmother's housekeeper before she met their dad. So we're a close family friend. But
well, Bella, make
case,
sure you send them the bill for this crass commercial.
Yeah. But I also want to suggest something quickly. We need to try and avoid – I understand why you're saying we need to be negative on Hillary. I think one of the problems the Republican Party and the conservative movement has, and why I'm shying away from being part of it anymore and want to be a constitutional patriot, the negativity is what turns people off. You've got Republicans and you've got conservatives in your camp already. If you want to get the Democrats who aren't happy and if you want to get the independents, we have to stop talking negative and saying, here's what we have to offer. Let's fight for the positive, not showing up the negative. The negative will prove itself out. I think Hillary will kill herself off and she will never be president of the United States without our help or our animosity. She will never be president. But I'm just not sure who on the horizon could beat her, and that's the real dichotomy of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Donald, I respect your opinion, but I think we need a twofold approach, a two-prong attack. One, a positive attack. The other part of it is we need to expose her for what she is.
I think people know that, though, Rick. I think that's pretty obvious. I don't think we need to go out of our way. And I'm trying to be, in my later years, I'm trying to be as positive as I can be on everything I do, and that's usually the best way to win. Anyway,
so Bella, now you're in the middle.
That's okay. I'm still me, and I'm doing my job. You know, my job is to go out and do my day job, go visit with my company men, and come in with the stories from the oil field because, you know what, we have a lot of fun out here. This is one of the greatest places in the whole world. And if you haven't been out here, which I know neither one of you guys have, but you look
Oh, yes, I have.
Oh, that's right. You were in Williston.
I was in Williston.
And,
yes.
And Bella, did you hear the news about the middle of last week, NBC National News, before the end of the show, they said, did you know the most expensive residents in the country are no longer New York or L.A. or Palm Springs or Palm Beach? It's Williston, North Dakota.
Oh, I know. I've been living the madness. I have an 8-bedroom house that I have my employees in, and it's an 8-bedroom house. It's nothing spectacular. As a matter of fact, it's a 2-story, about 2,000-square-foot home that they chopped up rooms to make additional bedrooms, but it's 8 bedrooms, $6,800 a month rent.
Wow.
My 1-bedroom cabin. I live in a 1-bedroom cabin. It's beautiful, but it's 1-bedroom. It is no bigger than literally, it's not even the size of a hotel room, but $3,000 a month.
Well, my first reaction, Bella, is you're an idiot, but then again, I realize you're a genius landlord.
Hey, Donald, I know we're short on time, but I have a quick question for you. Why are you and I not Facebook friends yet?
It's a good question. I will lay the blame on you. Feel free to.
All right, well.
I've been at 5,000 for a long time, but I've eliminated 12 of them in the last 2 days. So I've
well,
got
that's
some
good, because I just sent you a friend request.
All right, I'll answer it tonight.
Great.
Hey, guys, this has been a lot of fun, and we gotta wrap it up here. And besides, I got to run back in George Patton Jr.'s shack because he said I didn't completely finish cleaning the kitchen when I blew in there, made my tuna fish, and blew up
and
the microwave.
And I was too late.
But
Bella, I was too late in getting to you, but you got 2 things to read. Read them later tonight.
I will do that. I will do that. And, Rick, this was a lot of fun. I'll talk to you offline, but I'm liking this.
Okay.
But you guys, thank you so much. And, you know, go out tomorrow and do the right thing. Talk to every single person that you encounter. We have to walk, talk, and act differently. We have to get people engaged. We have to get people listening. Tell everybody to tune in to the Bella D'Angelo Show. Also, Rick Trader's Conservative Commando Radio. Donald, tell people where they can find you as well.
Well, at this point, Don Huber on Facebook, but we'll have a site within the next 2 weeks up and running.
Excellent, you guys. Any parting words on our way out, Donald? I'll let you.
No, just thanks for the opportunity, Bella.
Thanks. Talk to you offline. Hey, Rick.
God bless you. God bless you, Bella. It has been fun. Hey, Donald, nice to meet you, and I know we'll be talking in the future.
Likewise, and I'll gladly help on your show if you need help.
Thank you so much. Hey, Bella, don't forget, CPAC is coming up real soon.
I know. I'm on it. I'll call you tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, guys, I'm out of here. Good night. God bless. God bless America, and ciao for now.
We'll be right back.
have lived in a Muslim-majority country. I know because I am one of them.
How's that hokey-changey stuff working out for you?
He's now our president. He's our president.
If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth.
Taking back America, one listener at a time. This is the Bella D'Angelo Show.